Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, the question that we're asking today, and I'd love to hear from, we're asking the question, should Christians be silent? Should we remain silent when we see the foundation of our nation being destroyed? Should we be silent when we see government imposing illicit, immoral, unholy, ungodly, unbiblical rules, regulations, guidelines, and laws that undermine the faith, that undermines the Word of God, that will undermine the very foundation of America? And the Scripture says, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Now, I can answer that question for you. It is the fact that we are salt and light. We need to stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen. That's what we can do. That's what the righteous can do. And we're seeing the foundations being destroyed today. Ladies and gentlemen, Dennis Prager says the American Civil War is over Judeo-Christian values. And I believe he's exactly right. He says conservatives often speak of Judeo-Christian values and how the current civil war in the United States and the rest of the West is essentially a battle between those values and the left, which reject the Judeo-Christian values. They're right, he says, but they rarely explain what Judeo-Christian values are. Yet without explanation, mentioning Judeo-Christian values is useless. If you say that they're undermining it and we do not state what we believe, ladies and gentlemen, let's go back to the basics. What do we believe as Christians with what we call the Judeo-Christian values? And it is absolute fact that God sets the moral standard, that God is the creator, control of the universe, that God created male and female and created he them. God didn't create shims. He created hims and hers, if you will. He didn't create Sally and Susie to be a married couple, or John and Johnny. It is a matter that God has a standard. And that's when we say Judeo-Christian values. It is the moral standard that God sets. Secondly, it is the fact that God judges our behavior based on what we're doing, and we're accountable to God. That's a Judeo-Christian value, that God sets the standards, and that we're ultimately accountable to God, not to government. Yes, we have civil government. Yes, God created government. Yes, God created government to guide and direct what takes place in a civil society. But government is designed as a servant of God. And if government ceases to be a servant of God and submitting to God themselves, then, ladies and gentlemen, the rules and the regulations, the guidelines, the laws that's made by a fiat government that's antithetical to God's word and God's will, we ought to do, as Peter said, we ought to obey God rather than man. We ought to do just as Daniel did in the 6th chapter of Daniel, when the government says you can't pray for 30 days. Daniel prayed for 30 days as he had aforetimes, the Scripture says. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to take a stand and cease being silent as Christians. I don't know about you, but I get a little worried with those Christians that think somehow, some way, that it's okay to abrogate our responsibility to have a central biblicist worldview and to stand for God and for God's word. Ladies and gentlemen, just as morality is derived from God, our rights are also derived from God. Every right that we have today, not given to us by man, but given to us by God, codified in our Declaration of Independence and our Constitution and in our Bill of Rights. Ladies and gentlemen, we are, the Scripture says, we're endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. and it declares that, ladies and gentlemen, our Declaration of Independence. I believe we have Lily on the line. Give me the question or comment, please.
Yes, thank you very much, Dr. Youngblood, and God bless you today. As I listen to you, I am thinking that you are dealing with that huge question, should Christians be silent? I'm looking at the picture, I'm thinking that, you know, Christians have been silent really too long now, much too long.
Yes.
The Bible says we should not give place to the enemy, and I think we have been giving place to the enemy all along, giving place and allowing the enemy to move in like a flood and to take over. I think that Christians, there was a time not too long ago when the church, the Christians, the pastor, had a powerful voice, a strong voice in the community here, especially in the Western world. I'm looking at days when the voice of the church was powerful and the government would listen, yes, listen to the voice of the church. But we have compromised, not only by remaining silent, but in so many ways we have been compromising our position that you have spoken about, our God-given position, and we have been, as it were, having a form of godliness, but denying the power of our God. So today we have allowed the enemy to move out of the hiding where they were, move out of the closet, and I'm looking at the position we are in now is that the church. We have waited patiently, probably given them the chance to open the closet door and to creep out. But now they are out, and they are not as lenient as the church was. They are forcing not only open the closet door wide for the pastors to move in, the church, the leaders, the church to move in, but they are forcing the church into the closet and not only locking but sealing the door, locking us in. So I think at this time we're really in a bad position. I don't want to be pessimistic, but I think we have been silent too long, and it's difficult now because the respect and regard that we once held, and with the huge platform that the church had here in America, Western world, church got so big and powerful, but that with strong voice, but we have given it up. We have compromised our position. So the only God alone.
Yes, Lily, you have hit the nail on the head, and you've said it so succinctly and so correctly. And I like the way you said that, the church, the pastors have been sealed in the closet. And as I've said for many years, many years now, the sodomites, the LGBTQ agenda, those with the pervert, pedophile mindset, sexually speaking, they were hiding in the closet. They've come out of the closet. They're loud and clear. And it seems as though the Christians, the pastors, and the churches have gone into the closet in total silence, while the sodomites and the agenda of those in the pedophile pervert mindset come out of the closet. Now they're demanding that the church and the Christians stay in the closet and seal them in the closet, as you said. And it's exactly what's happening. It's the silence of the churches. And I believe the scripture is correct when it says that judgment begins at the house of God. And I believe we can point the finger at what's been done in the house of God with silence for so many years now that's brought about what we're faced with today. Lily, thank you so much for your call. Thank you for your insight. Thank you for your willingness to share what your thoughts are with our listening audience today. I believe we have Derwin on the line. Go with your question or comment, please.
Hello?
Hello? Go ahead with your question or comment.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't hear all of the lead-in. Anyway, Dr. Youngblood, I really have to super reiterate what Lily just said, and we find it, you're the only pastor that I've heard in the last 20 years that has taken a stand for the Christians, and when I say stand, I mean you stood your ground. You called a sodomite, you know? And led the way, and what we really need is for our big organizational groups like the Southern Baptists and all that to get some guts about them and stand up. You know, if we met these people every city council meeting, if we went to every one of these with a large group of Christians, you know, pretty soon we would beat them back into the closet where they belong.
Absolutely. Well, Darwin, you're exactly right. One of the things that I find, perhaps our listeners are not aware of that, every mainline denomination, in one fashion or the other, to one degree or the other, fully embraced the LGBTQ agenda. Multitudes of them have embraced abortion on demand. Multitudes of the denomination today think that gambling is okay, that cheating and lying is okay, that drugs are all right, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, rather than taking a stand on thus saith the word of God. It's the moral decline that we see as a result of pastors and Christians being silent, and we've been silent too long. And I say
this,
we need to be
way
silent.
Of life.
We need to take an absolute stand without silence, and we need to do so, and do so today. It is a need, I believe, to be verbal and let others know that silence is not the order of the day. But, Derwin, I'm thankful for your stand, thankful for your verbalizing that, and I pray that you'll continue to take a stand on issues like that. And thank you for your putting in your, as some call it, your 2 cents worth today. I'm thankful to hear from you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And keep on praying and keep on looking up, because I believe our redemption draweth nigh. I believe we have Greg on the line. Give me the question or comment, please.
Yes, I'm thankful for Derwin and Lily and both their positions, and I agree. Lily with her statement that we should give place to the devil, that's right out of Ephesians. I would make a challenge, though, to pastors. Learn our history, folks. If you're taking the pulpit, understand that pastors were willing to take a stand on each one of those issues we find in the Declaration of Independence. And we see that governments are instituted, what? To secure our rights. That's their primary purpose, not to attack our rights. Paul stood for his rights as a Roman citizen, and Peter challenged the government and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. That's just my 2 cents worth for today, but I appreciate you. Keep up the good work.
Amen. Thank you so much, and God bless you. Thank you for your call. You're exactly right. We need to keep on recognizing that we have our rights that are given by God. They're codified in the Scripture and confirmed by our courts, need to be carried out by we the people. We need to take a stand on those. I believe we have Bob on the line. Go with your question or comment, Bob.
Hey, Pastor. I was listening to Chuck Missler the other day, and he was talking about Genesis 6, the fallen angels, how they contaminated the gene pool, and that's why Noah's flood had to take place to start all over again with righteous Noah. I got to thinking about the vaccine. Do you think that the vaccine is going to do the same thing, contaminate the gene pool?
Well, Bob, let me just pause for a moment. Let's go back now. Number one, and who did you say said that?
Chuck Missler.
Chuck Missler. Well, tell Chuck Missler or anybody that believes that, that it's simply untrue biblically.
Really?
Fallen angels, as he would be referring to in Genesis 6, Genesis 6, chapter 6, verse 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, is not talking about fallen angels. Angels do not are sexless beings. They do not procreate. They do not marry, nor are they given in marriage, Jesus himself said. It is not talking about fallen angels in that text at all. There's no evidence of a fallen angel cohabitating with a female human being, producing an offspring. And when you read the text appropriately, and I challenge you and others that listening may believe things that Meisler, his name, whoever it is, that made that statement, because it's incorrect. It's wrong theology, false theology. And I can talk on that for the next 2 hours, because I studied it, I preached it, I've talked about it, I've lectured on it. It's part of the misunderstood, misrepresented, misinterpreted text in the Scripture. And that's not what brought about the flood. The flood was brought about because they were thinking and pondering on nothing but evil daily, continually. But it was not because of that. It was a benchmark set, and there were giants in the land. And in the verse 3 and verse 4, it talked about the 120 years that God says, my spirit will not always strive with man. And it's talking about the period of time that God was giving man an opportunity before the flood came, during the time that Noah was building the ark. And it was the Sethites, it was the godly line that cohabitated and intermarried with the ungodly line that is all the Scripture's talking about. It's not talking about the fallen angels. But now, going back further with your additional statement, Bob, in your question. I had to clarify that because I could not let that go by, because anybody that preaches and teaches that, and I would challenge anybody that is in that position, I'll debate with you, I'll discuss it with you until Jesus comes and show you biblically throughout the text that is an impossibility. But anyway, going back to your further question, is it possible for the vaccination to do so? Absolutely, unequivocally. In fact, the mRNA that's in Moderna, M-O-D-E-R-N-A, is the RNA in the Moderna vaccine and the Pfizer vaccine that encapsulates part of the DNA that literally forever changes who you really are. Once you've had the vaccination, you, though you may not feel it, see it, sense it at the outset, you are no longer the same person. Your DNA has been forever unalterably changed as a result of the vaccination. And I personally am adamantly opposed to it. In fact, there have been thousands upon thousands of deaths here in America from the vaccine. There have been hundreds of thousands on a global basis. And in fact, in the UK, they have caused to cease and desist the AstraZeneca vaccination. And I've got stacks of articles, giving nation by nation what's happened with the blood clots, the paralyzation, the sterilization as a result of the vaccines. No, it is a horrific thing. And I believe further, not only do I understand what's happening with this, that we'll not really understand the end result of the vaccines for years and years and years. We'll not understand what it's done to the physicality of the human body, but it will absolutely destroy the future context of who a person really is. In fact, there's been the attempt by Bill Gates, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, working with the CIA, as far back as 2004 and 2014, to generate a vaccine that could cause the enemy to be palatable and pliable so that they could be overcome by American forces. And I believe that's exactly what we see taking place with the vaccine. That's not conspiracy theory. I have documentation that can prove that. So, Bob, I believe I hope that answers your question. What do you have as a follow-up thought or question?
Well, I was thinking, is that an important part of the devil's strategy, this DNA changing?
No question about it. In fact, it's not just part of the devil's strategy. It's part of the ultimate strategy, because listen very carefully, and for our other listeners also today, they'll start out with the COVID pass. It's on the fast track. And I have document after document about that, where state after state is introducing the COVID pass, and that COVID pass will be required to be able to buy, sell, or trade. But they will discover that the COVID pass, even on the QR code on your cell phone or with some type of card that you'll have in your pocket, can be replicated, duplicated, imitated, or in some way fabricated. And as a result of that, the ultimate goal will be to then require that to be injected into your body, some type sign, symbol, indication. It's called the mark of the beast in Revelation chapter 13, verses 16, 17, and 18. And as a result of that, we're on the fast track for that very thing to take place, where all of humanity will be controlled by the one that's called the man of sin, the lawless one, the Antichrist. He will step on the scene and control the whole world. And we're watching the precursor to that, Bob. We're watching the stage being set for the ultimate thing. Get the people in line, submissive, surrendered, ready to take the vaccination. I'm amazed, Bob, and I'm totally surprised with it, that people will line up and passionately, enthusiastically want to be vaccinated. Somehow, some way, like it's the end thing to do. That because my neighbor's been vaccinated, because my friends have been vaccinated, because all channels on television say that you need to be vaccinated, the end thing seems to be, Bob, that I'm going to get vaccinated so that I can be with the crowd. I can identify, here's my COVID pass, here's my card, I've been vaccinated. Now I can go to banquets. Now I can go to games, and I can go to sports arenas. Now I can go into a shop without somebody badgering me. And I am amazed with it, shocked by it, saddened by it, because I see what the Bible says. As the old cliche goes, I know how this thing ends because I've read the end of the book. Mm-hmm. I understand what the Bible says, and so I know where we're going.
Pastor, where can I get a copy of your study on Genesis 6?
I have, I believe there may be something archived. We've got about 4,000 or 5,000 tapes and DVDs and CVDs. Mm-hmm. I'll have somebody to check that and get back with you on it. But we've got that study, and I've done that study so many times. I don't know whether it's been part of the archived group that we've got or not, but we'll find out.
Okay.
But check back with me.
All right. Appreciate it, Pastor. Thank you.
Thank you so much. God bless you, and have a blessed day. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe we have Pastor Davis on the line. Pastor, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Good morning, Dr. Youngblood. How are you?
Good morning. Blessed and continuing to be blessed, and I'm thankful for it, and I pray that you are.
Yes, sir. I am very blessed. But just a comment here I would like to say. What I believe the biggest part of the problem is for Christians on today, onto what you have been saying about the vaccine, is the fear factor. I think they fear the disease. They fear other things. And I understand it's a pandemic. It's real. We're not, trying to downplay that. It is real. But we have to know and understand as Christians on today that God is our healer and protector, and we should be trusting and believing in him to do everything that we need to have done in order to heal us if we come down with it, or to protect us from getting, from even contracting it. Now, on to the other things that were said by the other callers that called in. We have to realize also that, Dr. Youngblood, just like the song goes, this land is our land, from California to the New York Islands. God told man in the book of Genesis to be fruitful and multiply and replenish and subdue the earth. And what I think we have done down through the years, by way of compromise, we have not stood upon the moral principles of the word of God.
Yes.
And refused to give up ground to the things that are being enforced by the world, saying that different things are all right and they don't line up with the word of God. We have compromised for too long, but it's not too late. If we stand together right now, Dr. Youngblood, I think we can change things. We can actually turn things around, and God will step in and he'll take over and make it out to what it should be for us on today. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Pastor Davis, you're exactly right. I couldn't have said it better myself. You're exactly right. It's a matter that we have compromised for too many years, too many centuries, from the Christian church standpoint. I'm looking at an article by Dr. James Dobson. Dr. Dobson says, Biden has our nation teetering on the edge. He further states in the article, now following Biden's first solo news conference as president, Dobson says the nation is teetering on the very edge, and soon it could be too late forever, end quote. He further states, talking about Biden, he's advanced his far-left policies, most often by executive order, and continue to blame President Trump for the problems that he's creating himself. Even as he takes credit for the success he inherited, Dobson says, through it all, President Biden nevertheless accuses Republicans in continuing the policy of division. He has questioned whether or not the Republican Party would still be here in 2024. Further, Dobson says, it is more clear than ever that our nation is teetering on the edge as Christians at last aware, of the horrible reality of where we stand today, end quote. Further, and we are finally ready to stand up and let our voices be heard before it's forever too late. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe that is exactly right. It's time for us to stand up, let our voices be heard, or as Dr. James Dobson said, it could forever be too late. When you look at what's happening in China, when we see what's happening in Venezuela, when we understand what's happening in Russia and in North Korea and other parts of the world where Christians are absolutely being intimidated and persecuted and prosecuted. Here's an article in the Decision Magazine, the April 2021 issue, and it's from about Venezuela. Christians are beaten, cut, and forced to eat the Bible. Four Christian men in Venezuela were attacked for their faith and suffered serious injuries after hooded men stabbed them, forced them to eat pages of the Bible, and etched X's in their skin. The attack took place on February the 16th at Restoration House, a church-led drug rehabilitation program in the Liberator City and the state and the northeastern area of the country. And it goes further. Another part of the Decision Magazine talking about New Mexico. Governor repeals the pro-life law, conscience protection. New Mexico Governor Michelle Grisham signed a bill into law February the 26th, repealing the state's 52-year-old law that prohibited abortion except in rare circumstances. The new law also removes conscience protections from hospitals and health care workers. The new legislation titled Repeal Abortion Ban was passed in the Democratic majority state by a Senate vote of 27 to 15th on February the 11th, in the House with 40 to 30 votes on February the 19th. The new law is an immoral, dangerous one, then the law allows late-term abortion and offers no protection for girls and women by health professionals. And then it further talks about the United States with Amazon removes conservative authors' books in relationship to transgenderism. Anything that's conservative, the platforms today, the social media platforms are removing. And the Decision magazine, Franklin Graham, talks about it. Australia state decriminalizes abortion, the article states. South Dakota state Senate passes female sports bill. Ladies and gentlemen, we're watching across America today and all of the Western Hemisphere being totally consumed by anything that's immoral, ungodly, and unholy that I would have never dreamed possible 50 years ago. Here's an article where it says, in China, a raid on the church doing Sunday worship seizes the pastor and four others. And it goes on to talk about on the Sunday, the Fountain of Life Church was the target of one such incident with the Chinese Communist Party scrutiny. Hardly the first time this happened, but the pastor and his wife were seized and transported by officers to prison because of preaching the gospel. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been silent too long, I believe, as Christians. I believe it's time we stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen before it's eternally too late. In fact, Franklin Graham says, talking about the Equality Act that is now ready to be passed in the Senate, the Equality Act is a threat to life as we know it in our nation today. So, ladies and gentlemen, what should we do? How should we respond? I believe we should do just as Joshua said in Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15. Joshua says, if it seems evil unto thee to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That ought to be our position today, ladies and gentlemen. We should say, you can serve whatever God you want to serve. That's your business. That's your prerogative. But as for me and my house, Joshua made a decision as the head of the home. As for me, he says, and my house, my wife, my kids, we are going to serve the Lord. And may I challenge us with that as the final statement today. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. So we need to keep on looking up, and as we do, serving the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Thank you for joining us today on this broadcast. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1/2 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 9:45 p.m., for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them, 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.